استغفره ونوب اليه وتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انما الاعمال بالنيات وان لكل امرئ ما نوى الى اخر الحديث وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الان في الجسد مضغه ان صلحت صلح الجسد كله وان فسدت فسد الجسد كله الا فهي القلب. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. I have narrated two hadiths. The first hadith which I just narrated, that happens to be the very first hadith in the Bukhari, and it is quite surprising and amazing that why this particular hadith was chosen by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh to begin the hadith collection of Bukhari. Although the chapter of Bukhari, the first chapter of Bukhari, the title of which is How the Revelation began, Kitab Badal Wahi, how the Wahi started, what happened. And before he goes, the second hadith deals with the mode of revelation of Wahi. But the first hadith, the very first hadith, which apparently does not have any relationship with the next hadith, that is about the Wahi, but nevertheless it does have a relationship. And all of us are involved, and every Muslim is involved in that act. The translation of the hadith is all actions, all deeds, they depend on the niyat. Innamal amal bi niyat, har amal ki ek niyat. So all our deeds, all our actions depend on our niyat. What niyat we have made, in what intention we have made. And the hadith goes on and says that everybody gets whatever niyat he makes, the consequence or the reward of the niyat he will get. So any person, whatever he does and with whatever niyat he does, he will get the consequence or the sawab, as the case may be. So it is so logical, it is so apparent, that it does not need any explanation. But even then Rasulullah ﷺ went a little forward and to explain what it is. And that shows the negative connotation that is intended. Rasulullah ﷺ says that if a person migrates to any place in order to earn money or living, what a good life or whatever it is, for the sake of worldly matters, he will get it. If he migrates to a particular city because he wants to marry a woman who has migrated, who lived there, he will marry her and will get it. In other words, that means that whatever intention you make, it has an impact on your deed or action, whatever we do. It's so clear. And niyat is a matter of your heart, your conscience. I mean, for example, we make our namaz, roza, or hajj, zakat, whatever we do. You don't have to spell out the niyat with your tongue. And people do. That's all right. No problem. But the real intention is in your heart. And that's why, for example, the fuqaha say, for example, I came for Zuhar Namaz or Jummah Namaz. If I had my intention in my heart about the Jummah Namaz, I don't have to spell it out with my tongue, and niyat is accepted. And therefore, any action that we do, there has to be some niyat. Namaz ki niyat, roze ki niyat, hajj ki niyat, zakat ki niyat, sadqe ki niyat, nikah ki niyat. Anything that you do. In our everyday matter, we do the same thing. So nothing unusual. But you see, Islam is not concerned only with your outward reform. Islam is concerned with your inward reform also. Outward reform is easier to do. It is the inward reform which is the most difficult part. This is where the all trouble is. This is where the all problem is. And this is where we fall short. And this is where you need a teacher to teach you how to get rid of that. What do you do with it? Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, many of you must have seen the book Ihya Ulumuddin, Revival of Islamic Sciences. And that book which he has written towards the end of his career. For 10 years he was professor. He was a professor of theology in a very well-known institution called Nishapur. Very well settled, very comfortable. And a question came into mind, a problem came into his mind. How to attain paradise and how to avoid hell. Jannat kaise hasil karein aur dozakh se kaise bachein. We are not talking about ordinary person. We are talking about Imam Ghazali. We use the word Imam. Now Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is worried, is concerned how to attain paradise and how to avoid hell. And according to, in those days, even now for that matter, there is philosophy, sciences, the Shia movements, the other ideologies are there, tasawwuf. What he did, for 10 years, he resigned from his post. For 10 years, he started studying each science and each movement. He studied the discipline of philosophy to the hilt. And he was able to strike a death blow to rational thinking in Islam. It never survived in the sense of potential as such. You will find traces. Then he studied sciences, pure physical sciences. And he realized there was nothing exact, sciences 2 and 2, 4, there's nothing there. Then he studied all the philosophy of the Shia movement, the Batini movement. So one by one he rejected. And he came to the conclusion, the only path in Islam through which you can attain paradise and avoid hell is through the tazkiyah and ihsan. Through reforming your heart and holding the hand of your ustad where you can learn. It's called tazkiyah and ihsan, purification of your heart, and ihsan, how to do the best thing according to the requirement of your inner tazkiyah that you have done. The word tasawwuf have come much later. At that time tasawwuf was not used, the term tasawwuf. At that time the word was tazkiyah and ihsan, or tazkiyah. That also comes from the Quran, also comes from the hadith. But that's not my subject, I'm not discussing this. I was discussing about the heart, the issue of heart. In this Ihya Ulumuddin, after this encounter, he has written this Ihya'ul Muddin, in which he discusses all the stages and what are the ways and means how to attain this paradise. And there he mentioned there are two chapters called Muhlikat and Munjiyat. Muhlikat al-Qalb, Munjiyat al-Qalb. What are the things which saves and protects your heart or protects you, and what are the things which destroys your heart and kills your heart and destroys everything with it? It's worth reading. But reading is enough, is not enough. That's a manual which you can read, but you need somebody to tell how to go about it. Don't start treating yourself with your own thinking, whatever happened. But that's beside the point. The point I was making really is about the niyyat. There may be absolutely good act, but if niyyat is wrong, that act is destroyed. The amal is good. Your niyyat is wrong. Your niyyat is good, but amal is wrong. For example, there's so many legends about those things, but then for a very common example I'm giving, that I want to go and steal money or something from the rich people to distribute it among the poor. To distribute among the poor is a very good act. Who will deny that? Niyat was also good, but the means that you adopted, that was wrong. It destroyed everything. Who permits you to do that? So the niyat is a double-edged sword. The first niyat, any act that you want to do, the first time the niyat comes, normally and usually is good one. It is after that the shaitan comes as. It is after that that waswasa he does the waswasa ki dekho isme ye hai, isme ye hai, isme ye kharabi hai, ye kharabi hai, ye achhai hai, achhai ye kaam karo, chodo usko. Then the shaitan start arguing with your nafs at that time. And this is where your niyat is then changes. That's why the Sufiya say and the Buzhuk say, ki the Fatih Hadith has said, ki the, as soon as a niyat occurs in your heart to do something, you do it immediately. Don't let it stay for long and squander the whole thing, because the shaitan ka to kaam hi hai ye. But shaitan has extracted promise from Allah Mia. I will not let this man do good. That's what he's acting. He's doing his duty. But we are supposed to do our duty too. And therefore, it is the heart and heart alone. And that's why the Quran talks about heart. Qalb Salim, sound heart. Diseased heart. That's why the Quran talks, because this is where the first time the niyat takes place is there. You see, in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a group of munafiqeen, the hypocrites. They used to come make namaz and masjid Nabi and make everything the Muslims used to do. Rasulullah had known that they are munafiq. Some of the Sahaba had known who that they are the munafiq. What they decided once, to build a mosque, a masjid, away from the masjid Nabi, little away from the masjid Nabi. And then they came to Rasulullah to ask him, in your or in our modern day terminology, to launch the mosque or to inaugurate the mosque by come there and by reading there in the mosque. The idea was, the munafiqeen had thought if they built the mosque, and the excuse was that in the morning or in the night it becomes difficult for people to come to Masjid Nabi. It will be easier for them to make namaz there. Now you see the intention. Intention is to build a mosque. But masjid bana rahe hain. Masjid sawab ka kaam hai. Jitni masjid banegi utne jannat mein ghar banega. So they are making that niyat. And what they said to Rasulullah also happens to be true. Yes, In the far away, people come in the morning and the evening. And asking Rasulullah to come and pray there so that the act is legitimized, receive the legitimacy. Rasulullah came back. So everybody will go there. But the real intention was something else, which they did not tell Rasulullah. The real intention was to pull away the Muslim Musallis from the Masjid Nabawi. That was the real intention. Rasulullah was going to a battle of Tabuk. He said, all right, when I come back, then you remind me. When Rasulullah was coming back, this is in Surah Tawbah, when Rasulullah was coming back, the verses arrived. And that those verses explained to Rasulullah what this mosque is all about. And then he was instructed that you do not go there. That mosque in Islamic literature came to be known as Masjid al-Darar. Darar means harmful, full of harm. So that masjid is a masjid of harm. The intention was to harm the unity of the community, to pull away the musallis from the Masjid al-Nabawi so that they become easy prey to the munafiqeen mischief. That was the real intention. So you see, from the beginning up to the end, the niyat was good, the act was good, everything was good, but the real intention becomes something else. Just to complete, the Rasulullah, when he came back, he instructed the Sahaba to go and burn that mosque. And the mosque was burned down. And from that time, he came to be known as Masjid al-Darar. A masjid which causes harm. That was it. So what I'm talking about the intentions. Now, and that's the main thing, because this is where it must permeate outside. You know the word Iman and Islam, Mu'min and Muslim. Why Quran always uses the word Mu'minun? Whenever Quran demands from the Muslims anything, any act, always use the term Mu'min or Mu'minun or Mu'minat. Because the demand is from those people who claim that they are loyal to Allah Ta'ala and they are the Mu'min. And Islam is the outward reflection of that Iman. And therefore outward reform is easier. We can have beard, we can have kurta, we can have anything you want to do. But the outward reform, if it is effected and impacted and influenced and caused by inner reform, that's what reliable. Agar dil ki halat kuch hai aur zehn ki halat kuch hai, to wo qabil qubool nahi. That was not acceptable. That's the most harmful thing. That's hypocrisy. That's munafiqat, nifaq. That's not acceptable. Islam is not concerned about it. Islam is concerned about the agreement between what is inside and what is outside. That's what it is all about. There is a couplet that says, ye chamak tari jabin par, ye chamak tari jabin par zara dil bhi dekh zahid, ye chamak tari jabin par zara dil bhi dekh zahid, jo jagah hai roshni ki wahi roshni nahi hai. So this mark that we have got there, fine, that's alright. But look, guard your heart also. Because the place where the light should be, this is where the light is missing. So niyat ka qibla kaise durust hoga? That's the issue. But how the qibla of the niyat is corrected? And that's not easy. Niyat ka qibla durust hoga through your iman and taqwa. That's again heart, again inside. Or this you won't get just like that. You have to learn. And this is where the second hadith comes. The second hadith which I narrated, it says, Rasulullah says that in your body there is a piece of flesh. If it remains sound, the whole body will remain sound. And if it is unsound, and if it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt. Allah fahiya al-qalb, Rasulullah says, beware, that is your heart. So, mahare jism mein, gosht ka ek lothra hai. Gosht hai. Heart. اگر وہ ٹھیک ہے صالح ہے تو تمہارا بدن بھی صالح ہے، تمہارا بدن بھی ٹھیک ہے. اگر وہاں فساد ہے تو پورے بدن میں فساد. بڑے کام کی بات ہے، اٹس ویری امپورٹنٹ تھنگ، اینڈ دس از دا تھنگ وچ از موسٹ نگلیکٹڈ. دوز آف یو ہیو بین ریگولر ان دی مجلس اباب شیخ حضرت حکیم صاحب مدد اللہ، he often recited one of the couplets of my father. حیات دو روزہ کا کیا عیش و غم، حیات دو روزہ کا کیا عیش و غم، سفر کا بھی کیا جیسے تیسے رہے. That in the life of two days life, what do you worry about comfort and discomfort? If you are in the state of travel, you don't care about much comfort or discomfort. When you go to the airport, you have to wait for 8 hours. Those of you who are old days used to go to Saudi Arabia used to, for the thing, you have to wait 10 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is, the airport, because not getting visa, all kinds of things. You don't worry about comfort, discomfort at that time. You want to pass your time, whatever time is, wherever you are, if you're lying on the floor or lying on the couch or anything, getting or whatever it is, you just want to pass the time, 5 hour thing. So you don't really worry at that time about the hotel accommodation, this accommodation. You just stay there, whatever it is there. You are in the state of travel. You go to any place, you haven't got a place according to your own desire or comfort or whatever, you don't worry. But say, bhai, 2 ghante ki baat hai, aaram kar lo, yahi baith jao, kar lo. To hayat e doroza ka kya aish o gham, safar ka bhi kya jaise taise rahe. In the state of travel, no matter how you live, what do you worry about comfort, discomfort? Hum aise rahe yahan ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. We lived here, no matter how we live, the thing there, there is a thing, how do we live there? How do we get away there? That's the question. That's what Imam Ghazali was looking for. And that, wahan kaise rahe, how do we live there? That depends how you live here. And how you live here, that depends again on your heart and your niyat, what you are doing. So niyat is the most important thing. That should be corrected. Niyat, the qibla of niyat must be corrected. That should be. And the qibla of the heart has to be towards Allah. Aur Allah milega taqwa aur iman mein. If taqwa aur iman we have got, that will correct your outward amal also. So innamal amalu bin niyat, sare actions jo hain sab amal jo hain sab niyat ke upar, on your intention. So your intention can destroy the whole act. If I'm giving a charity in the farais, in obligations, there's no problem. In other words, that is, you can't, that this is shaitan. I'm going to make a 5-time namaz to masjid, for example. Now shaitan comes, people will think that you are a very good namazi, you could do 5 times a day. That's not accepted. Because farais, there's no question. We have to do our obligations. So that should not let you get away, ke bhai, we don't do this because of this. Nawafil, yes. That's why Rasulullah hadith often says, ke nawafil jati padni ho. Whatever nawafil you want to make it, 100 rakat or 200 rakat, make it in isolation, fine, that's acceptable. But that's also because for the correction of your heart, not for anything else. So agar, if when we say that we are Muslim, and we will say we are mu'min, so bhai, claim is easy. But to prove the claim to our acts, that's difficult. Somebody has defined about Islam thing. You know, Shahadat Gah means where a person is martyred in the battlefield. Ye Shahadat Gah Ulfat mein qadam rakhna hai. Ye shahad, koi kahe ki hum Musliman hain, Musliman kehna, ye dawa, his claim. یہ شہادت گاہ الفت میں قدم رکھنا ہے، لوگ آسان سمجھتے ہیں مسلمان ہونا. That it is to claim that I am a Muslim, it is as if to step in the battlefield where you are likely to lose your body, likely to lose your heart, likely to lose yourself. People normally take it very easy, as to very easy to become Muslim. It is easy if your heart becomes a real mu'min and the niyat is corrected. The last point is this, that this niyat, the iman and taqwa that we are talking about, That you will have to get in the company of some buzurg, in the company of sulaha, in the company of awliya. I'm not asking that you become bad. Bad is something else, that's a very formal thing. But you must get somebody where you learn these things. This is what I told you is theory. But the practice, like the doctors have to do the internship, the lawyers have to do the articleship, the accountants have to do the thing. All the practice have to do all practical things. What do they have to do? They don't have to do anything. But they are required to do. In fact, if you go to a surgeon who has not been practicing anything, you will be scared. You will not go there. But a doctor who has been surgeon for 10 years, 12 years, he says, "Why, he is a very good surgeon. He has been so many operations he has done." But somebody who hasn't done any operation, what do you want to go to there? You will not go there. So everything then again become to the same point. I make dua, that is whatever I have said. Allah, I deserve myself, and so you also deserve to pay attention to what I have said. Aur aakhri baat ye hai ki bhai, kisi ko pakadna hoga. Niyat karni padegi, mehnat karni padegi, deen seekhna padta hai, ye sab karna padta hai. Then you will be able to succeed. If not, then Allah Ta'ala hidayat de de, alag baat hai. Lekin ye ki normal circumstances are thus that you can't get away without a struggle. Wa akhru da'wana bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum.